Pertwee, stage name James Pertwee, and I was in an episode of Allo Allo, which was series 9, episode 5, and I played the German soldier on the beach. I'd been doing some theatre work, mostly, just before Allo Allo. I was in a comedy with Brian Murphy and Linda Regan playing their son, and it was a sort of classic farce. And at the same time, I think in the summer, just before we went on the tour which took us to Eastbourne, I did an episode of The Bill, and I had an agent at the time, and Allo Allo cropped up, and I think it was also mentioned to me that they were casting one of the small parts, and I think with the possible connection to David and my father, and that the sort of agency saw this come up and thought, ah, John might be okay for this, and get some work with David. It was right at the end of the episode, and I remember it was quite a drive up here from Guildford, where I was living at the time, and we came up. The one thing I do remember, the drive up, the weather was absolutely great, and which was a bit reminiscent of the Dad's Army days, I guess, with what they used to call cross summer, because the weather was actually a scorcher. Coming up here, I arrived, stayed here at the Bell Hotel. Everyone was very pleasant and sort of supportive, and as I say, had a very small part, but we were pretty quickly out to Cromer, right on the beach. The whole scene was done on the beach, pretty blowy as well, as I remember, but we had nice warm German costumes on, and it went pretty smoothly. But Cromer was a place, of course, that I'd been to as a kid, with coming up here with my dad while he was doing Dad's Army. So to come back in 1991-92, it was 15 years after Dad's Army had ended, so it was quite nice to return. I don't remember any studio work. The scene that I was in was purely outside. It was on location, and as I say, it was pretty blowy. It was fresh, right on the seaside, and everything was there. And we had the wagons coming along, the German vehicles, and they drove those through, which then we were given. I think as much as the few words that I spoke, I think the main thing was just getting into the van quickly and just linking that all up. So it was the jumping in, and I remember the prop guy or the assistant saying, making a quite detailed thing of the gun, which was actually a very good suggestion, because you're not really going to forget two or three words. But the issue was, I remember he was saying, don't worry about this. You get in the vehicle, and as soon as you hit the seat, get the gun, or I think it was just before that, throw the gun in, that's right. Throw the gun in, door, seat, down. So it was very technically instructed just for that moment. And luckily when you see it, it is all very quick. But if he hadn't gone through that, I think I would be jumbling with a gun, the rifle would be here, and so that was really all there was to it. In the wagon, blowy as it was, but pretty fine weather, so it was a nice, quick, slick scene. But yeah, everything filmed on location there. The one thing it was great. They were not only, there's two things that sort of come to mind. Is that one, they treated me as a young lad who was in an episode of something and were very supportive, giving you the confidence and not to worry, and of course they've been doing this show for a while by by now. So it was quite relaxed for them, and that, therefore that gave them the ability to be very supportive to me. And then on top of that, of course, there was the sort of added extra closeness, if you like, or conversation, knowing who my dad was, and this sort of this whole a family within, you know, programs like LOLO and Dad's Army and the other Croft series. So there was a nice chat about reminiscing about Dad's Army and what do I remember and things like that. So it was that it was very much a sort of family feel, and nobody felt, I didn't feel alien to anyone, or so it was very easy going with that in that respect. Yeah. Specifically, one person, which was Kenneth Connor, and it was the little moment with Kenneth Connor. He was short. By the time I jumped into the wagon as well, I sort of had this dominating sort of look down on him, being slightly shorter anyway, and sort of put him in his place while he sort of flustered around being told off by this German. And as well to do a little moment like that with someone like Kenneth Connor, who I'd grown up seeing in the Carry On films, and you know, it's still a nice thing to look back and you can say, well, actually, I had a little moment, I worked with such and such, or I worked with this person, and you've always got that memory, you've always got that knowledge of saying, oh, there's a guy, and he was in a Carry On movie when I was a kid, watching it before I was even doing any professional work, and now I'm working with him. So that was nice. I had a soft spot for Arthur Bostrom as Officer Crabtree. I mean, the absurdity of several of them, and I mean, he was pretty absurd. But I think with his height as well, and there was something as well with the mispronunciation that was so sort of became such a trademark. I thought he was good. He used to make me laugh, and I remember doing a railway program with Arthur, and he was a nice gentleman as well. So I think with his mismatched use of the language was pretty well done and well conceived. So I'll go with Officer Crabtree. Yes, I was asked to do one more. And by then, I think, David was quite happy with the little bit now, although, and I think he just got in touch with my agent at the time, which was ICM. And so it was a very nice, informal sort of, wouldn't mind John playing a small part in Oh, Dr. Beeching. So that was nice, easily arranged. And again, that was great. It was a tiny role, but I was the photographer at the station. And of course, the series, unfortunately, I don't think ran too long. And as Jeff Holland, who's a wonderful performer and lovely man, who I'd worked with 2 years beforehand in a play called Travels With My Aunt. Of course, he was in Oh, Dr. Beeching, so I had the day or two as the photographer in the scene with Jeff. And again, the weather was good. It was a good, hot, sunny day. It was a nice little piece to do. So, looking back, it was LOLO and Oh, Dr. Beeching. However small the roles, it's nice to be able to say that you've done a couple of David Croft series. So yeah, happy days indeed. The costume was the sort of it felt like the main attraction of the day. It was very easy from here. I mean, it was probably a good hour and a quarter, maybe an hour and a half, but we were on the coach going over to Cromer, and it was a pretty scenic journey anyway, which was nice. also that gave us a sort of time to have a chat and kind of think of what we're going to do with the role. And as I say, I think we were going to pick the rifles up when we got onto the location site, if I remember. The costumes, I think we had, and had already tried that on. And I thought that was quite fun, being dressed up as a... felt like I was in Where Eagles Dare or something, playing Clint Eastwood, which was great. And there I was in a German outfit. But, you know, we can dream. It was a nice trip over there. And it was very simple from here, in the outfit, onto the beach, pretty blowy, and then and wrapped pretty quickly. I don't think there was more than a couple of takes. So as I say, it was more of a mechanical move than retaking the lines, because I think I literally had 2 or 3 words, and it was all pretty slick. So it was a nice day. Oh yeah, good question. Costume and makeup. Actually, yeah. To be honest, that the costume and the makeup seemed to be the majority of the effort, the actual filming part was fairly straightforward. The makeup was pretty basic. I don't remember it being too. I did have makeup. That was done on location. We were taken into a trailer on the beach, because I remember we'd left pretty quickly from here, from the hotel, and we actually took the costume, but makeup when we got there, and then into the outfit, into the costume, grabbed the rifle, and pretty quickly we were suited and booted and ready to be a German. Oh yes, great question. I've sort of got a few things in the pipeline. I've become one of the things that's rather than a paid career or job, the most important thing for me is I've now been made a trustee of our local RSPCA centre in Cornwall, and it's an interesting, very quickly, that our centre is self-funded. We get 5% from the national RSPCA, so people think that it's all linked together, but we're actually an independent branch. I've been a volunteer there now as well for 10 years. I do some speeches, some talks, which I've raised money for the Dogs Trust, the RSPCA, and a group called the David Shepherd Wildlife Foundation, who are a fantastic charity. David Shepherd is the artist, so I do a little bit of fundraising when I can for them. And on the work front, I've had a book out called The Cup of Dreams, which is a fictional kid's story, and this is about two little lads, one from Eastern Europe, one from Brazil, and they grow up and they meet in a global cup, like a World Cup, and it's a sort of poverty angle with them trying to become the superstars of world football. And then my next project, which I've started, is going to be sort of labour of love, I think, is, I haven't got the title for it, but it's an encyclopedic book that is part encyclopedia, part collectibles, part timeline of real life events, and it's all based on Clint Eastwood. And my early memories of collecting his movies and fascination of the man, a meeting when I met him at a film lecture, we had a brief chat, and I wrote an article about the day, and amazingly it was published in the newspaper, and the whole piece as well, it wasn't even edited, so I thought I'll send this off to Mr. Eastwood in Carmel, Warner Brothers, and Warner Brothers studio over there. Lo and behold, I get back in the post, signed photographs, a letter, 2 posters, At the time, this was early mid 80s, Sudden Impact and Tightrope were the two films in question. Saying you're welcome to come over, and there was a menu from this famous restaurant, the Hog's Breath Inn. So I thought, wow, that's pretty great to receive all that. So since then, I've kept a few bits and pieces along the way, movies and the old videotapes. So these are all being documented in a book, and when they came out, will be the history of what was going on in the world at the time. So for example, 1982, Firefox. It will have a timeline of what was going on in the Falklands when that came out, and then a brief thing about my collectible madness. And I'm quite excited about it because it's as my wife would say, she said, well, once you've got it all in the book, you can get rid of all the clutter. So we'll see. But yeah, I'm keeping busy, so I'm looking forward to writing again. Andrew, my pleasure. It's always nice to have conversation with you, and for you to ask things. And it's always nice as well to generate those nice memories that I've had and kind of remember, you know, I'm pretty lucky to have been involved in such comedy. So thank you very much.